three scriptures I would like to read tonight, all in the Gospel of John. The first one in John chapter 20. John 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he says to Thomas, "Bring thy hand, finger here, and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Could we then turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And just the tail end of verse 37. "Him that comes to me, I will not at all cast out." And lastly, in chapter 10. Chapter 10, and the tail end of verse 28. "No one shall seize them out of my hand." The man's name was William. He wasn't a Christian. In fact, he was quite the opposite. He had no love for the Lord or for anything like that. He was a bachelor, lived by himself. And one day, as he was walking through the town, he saw a house on fire. There was an old lady who lived in the house. The fire brigade was there, and they'd already rescued the old lady. The old lady had a young grandson who was living in the house as well. And he was still on the upstairs window of this house. And without thinking about it, this man, William, ran in and put his hand on the drain pipe, started to climb it. The heat had heated the drain pipe to a very high temperature. Every movement of the hand burnt the flesh. He climbed all the way up, lifted the little boy out, and back down again. The old lady, through the shock of it, died not very long afterwards. And the question came up in the courthouse as to the custody, who would look after the little boy. There were two who came forward, a Mr. and Mrs. Lovell, a very devout Christian couple, and this man, William. And the local town elders and higher dignitaries looked at the two cases and decided, well, we'll hear what both have to say. The Lovells came in first. They said, well, we can give him a good Christian upbringing. We can give him a mother's care. We can give him the love of a family. And then William came in. And they all thought, how on earth can we give it to this man? He said, well, William, what's your case for taking the little boy? He said, I've only got one thing. And he held up his hands. Scarred, ruined by the heat of that drain pipe. The court was unanimous. The boy went to William. He was a very young boy. And he grew up, and he loved William. Came to call him Daddy. And every day he would hug and kiss those hands that were burnt to save his life. And one day, an art exhibition came to the town. There were all these pictures lined up with all these different stories on them. And he went down with his little boy, and told them the story of each one. And he came to one that showed the Lord Jesus hanging on a cross. And the little boy said, "Daddy, what's that story?" And he said, no, I don't believe that. I don't want to tell you that one." He said, "Well, you didn't believe Jack and the Giant Killer, and that's my favorite story. Tell me this one." He said, "All right." And he told him the story of Jesus going to the cross, dying there for everyone else. The people in front jeering at him. He told it as quickly as he could and went to move on. The little boy stood there looking at that picture. He said, "How could they do that? How could they jeer? Why, Daddy, it would be like me looking at your hands and turning away. Ignoring them, what you did." They went home that night. And William couldn't get those words out of his head. He went to sleep and he pictured his son looking at his hands and turning away in disgust. He got down on his knees and put his trust in the Lord Jesus that night. It just made me think of those hands, of the blessed Lord Jesus. Those hands which were pierced. I was thinking of this scripture with Thomas. The nails that went through those hands. How could that be done for me? How could that be done for us? How could he have allowed those nails to go through the hands of his feet? We've all experienced various forms of physical pain in our lives. Whether it be injuries, broken bones maybe. We all know how the pain is there. How could he willingly let those nails be put through his hands and through his feet? It was a wonderful love, dear friend. A love beyond anything we understand. A love that showed care for you and me. A love that went beyond all boundaries. A love that went even into death. He was perfect. He was the Son of God. He did not need to die. He was the only man who ever walked on this earth who did not deserve death. When man was created in the beginning, he wasn't created to die. He was created, when he was created, he was perfect. There was no blemish. There was nothing wrong with him until sin came in. And since then, man has deserved death. Each and every person in this room deserves to die and to have that as the end, to go into eternal punishment where there is no future. And yet, God's love is immense. God's love was beyond anything we can ever think of. God is a righteous God, and that means that sin must be punished. Our wrongdoings cannot be left without punishment. And they have been. Because God, in his wonderful grace and love, provided a way out for us. In his only Son. He loved his Son, and he still loves his Son, more than he loves you and me. It's always amazed me. He gave something he loved more for something he loved less. How humbling is that, dear friend? That Jesus came. He came in a very humble way. He came from glory's highest heights. He came down to a very low place. And he went lower than any man had ever gone before. No one stooped as low as the Lord Jesus did. He went willingly into death. There are those in this world who have taken their own lives. But they take it in distress. They take it when Satan has a grip on their mind. Satan had no grip on the Lord Jesus' mind. He was unlike any person who ever died before. He could have avoided death. It's often been amazement to me. After the Last Supper, he went to the garden where the Judas brought the people to him. He could have gone anywhere else and Judas would not have found him. He went to the place because he wanted to be found. He wanted to go and walk that way to death because he loved you. Oh, how he loved you, dear friend. And here we see his love. He didn't just enter death, he rose again. I do love this, because this appearing was for Thomas. He wanted Thomas to believe. He wanted him to know the hope of salvation. He wanted him to be with him. And he wants you, dear friend. He wants you to come to him. Which is why tonight he is still reaching out with those hands. Those hands that were pierced for you. Those hands which speak of his love. Those hands which the blood poured out of. That wonderful cleansing blood. The blood that cleanses from all sin. And he reaches out to each and every one. We see in the passage in John 6. Him that comes to me, I will not at all cast out. If you think you're not good enough, if you think you're not worthy to come to him, I'd ask you to remember the prodigal son. Because he was someone who had it all. And when he went out from his father, he went out in great riches. I'm sure he looked well, had nice clothing, possibly a retinue, people who worked for him. When he came back a pauper. He came back someone that most people would have crossed the street to avoid. Not the father. God will take you in whatever way you are. He will take you regardless of your state. And what's more, he will run to welcome you, as the Father did. He will embrace you, keep you close. Scripture tells us that the Father covered that son with kisses. The son started to tell him how unworthy he was to be there. And yet the father was simply delighted to have him back. And dear friend, he wants you. If you've put your faith and trust in him, he is looking with great delight forward to that day when you will be with him. And you personally as well. It's very easy to think of ourselves as one of a number. But the Lord is looking for you personally. He has taken the time to count every single hair on your head. I've never even taken the time to do that. Well, anyone. I don't know anyone who's ever taken the time to do that. He knows everything about you. And you know what? He cares. really strikes me, that line in that hymn. Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and gave his own life for my soul. He looked at your life. He knew what you were going to be like before you ever lived on this earth. He looked at your life. He looked at everything wrong that was going to go in it. And he considered it worthy to save. He knows things about our lives that we haven't done yet. He knows everything wrong we're ever going to do. He considered your life, yours personally, worth saving. That's how much he loves you. That's why he went to that cross. That's why he took those nails. That's why he didn't do a myriad of things he could have done to not be nailed to that cross. He could have walked away. Many times in Scripture, he walked to the midst of people, and there was nothing they could do about it. Many times, they just could not find him. We're told he could have called down 10 legions of angels. He could have destroyed all around. He didn't. He didn't give in to that temptation. Because that's what it was, dear friend. It would have been a temptation to go elsewhere. But he didn't. He didn't resist. His arms were put to that cross and the nails driven through. He didn't resist when they put a crown of thorn on his head. When they mocked him. When they covered his face and buffeted. He resisted the temptation to tell them who was buffeting him. Because he could have done. He resisted every temptation on the way to that cross. And he entered into those 3 hours of darkness. He entered in and died. And now his hands are outstretched. If you want to know what those hands can do, think of every person they touched in Scripture. The lepers, the blind, the lame, all were healed. Those hands were never used for anything bad. They never came with any small print or side deals that had to be done. The healing was pure. It was given in grace and asked for nothing in return. Dear friend, the amazing thing is, if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he doesn't ask for anything in return. And he will bring you to a place beyond any place we've ever been. In his Father's own house. He will take us to be with him. And why? Because he knows that that is the only place we will ever truly be happy. We might find other things pleasurable in this world, but there's only one place we will be truly happy for all eternity. You know, it really struck me, every commandment he gives us, we think of the Lord's Supper. I was really struck when I was in Italy. Piero prayed that the Lord's Supper was for our benefit. And it was to remind us of his love. Everything the Lord asks us to do is for our enjoyment. It's not something that, you know, we feel we must do in return. It's what a Christian must do. It's a gift, and it's given. The Lord showers us with blessings beyond anything that we can imagine. We think of the song, Count Your Blessings. I've tried it. I had to give up. I couldn't get very far. There's too many. We'll spend all of eternity counting our blessings. And we'll never get to the end of the list. the most wonderful thing of salvation and being nothing asked back is in the final scripture. I'd never really considered this one until my father mentioned it about a week ago. When we come to the Lord, we will not be cast out. And when we are the Lord's, nothing will take us from there. If you belong to the Lord, dear friend, no matter what goes wrong in this life, you are His, and He loves you more than anything else. And no power of anywhere, hell or earth, will ever take you from Him. You are His, and that will never change. Thank the Lord. You are bound for eternity. We talk of the hope of being with the Lord Jesus. That hope is what we call a sure hope. We can hope for things in this world, something new, maybe for certain things to happen. We're never sure if they'll quite happen. This is one hope that is certain. This is one hope that will never change. And dear friend, I would just ask you tonight, is it the hope of your heart? Because if it's not, I would implore you, please, put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Because He's waiting for you. And He's been waiting for you since long before you were born. With His hands outstretched, those wonderful hands. He's been waiting for you. And He will wait for you until the day you reach out and take it. Until the day you begin that wonderful life with Him. And I can assure you it is a wonderful life. Because the Lord provides peace and joy like nothing the world can give. And it will never end. And it's always there for you. So I just ask you tonight, put your trust in the one who cares for you so much. The one who would love to take you home and wrap you in His loving arms and keep you close for all eternity. Do so before it's too late, for His name's sake. Amen.